This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بِاللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَأُصَلِّ وَأُسَلِّمُ صَلَاةً وَتَسْلِيمًا يَلِقَانِ بِمَقَامِ أَمِيرِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَإِمَامِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدَنَا وَنَبِيَّنَا وَعَظِيمَنَا وَحَبِيبَنَا مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميامين أما بعد جماعة المسلمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون صدق الله العظيم سورة البقرة 155, 156, and 157. Surah Al-Baqarah, 155, 156, and 157. Verses that we are all familiar with, but that we are truly now witnessing in real time on an entire population of the Ummah of Muhammad Salawatu Rabbi wa Salamuhu Alayhi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the verse by saying, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. The lam, and then noon at-tawqid, al-thaqila, which are basically two noons brought together with a shadda. All three of these letters, the lam and the two noons, indicate a form of affirmation. Like verily, most certainly, indeed. So it's a triple affirmation and confirmation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. Indeed, most verily, most certainly, we shall test you with a test of khawf. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. We shall test you with something of fear. وَالْجُوعِ and hunger. Fear and hunger. Before they discovered what PTSD was, post-traumatic stress disorder. In the First World War, they called it shell shock. Shell shock. Now, shell shock was a reaction to the intensity of the bombardment and fighting that produced a helplessness which could manifest as panic, fear, flight, or inability to reason, sleep, walk, or talk. This was called shell shock. And it was something that came out of trench warfare in the First World War. In the British trenches, if the whistle was blown to go over the top, you were given 27 seconds. Don't ask me why 27. I know 27 is significant to us. But 27 seconds you had to go over the top. And if you didn't, you could literally be shot on the spot. You could be executed for disobeying an order in wartime, in the battlefield. And later they discovered that many of these soldiers never went over the top because they were shell-shocked. They couldn't move. They couldn't reason. They were engrossed and enveloped in panic and fear. And that was before the invention of the one-ton bomb. The one-ton bomb is actually the 2,000-pound bomb, of which hundreds, if not thousands, that have been dropped on the Gaza Strip since the 7th of October. That bomb produces a blast wave of 14.7 psi, pounds per square inch. Now, that is the biggest, between 10 and 20 psi. 20 psi is almost 100% fatalities. Between 10 and 20, as in the case of this bomb, you have a situation where it will kill most of the people in the blast range. And the further a person is away from the point of explosion of that bomb, the less the PSI, but it still creates all of these symptoms that have been coming on in terms of their discovery of shell shock and post-traumatic stress disorder. In fact, they discovered now that 80% of children, this is now in Gaza, and this was a study done in 2022. The non-profit Save the Children interviewed nearly 500 children and 160 parents in Gaza. It found that 80% of children in the study showed symptoms of emotional distress. About half of them were reported to have contemplated suicide, and 3 out of 5 were self-harming. And they discovered this is from the effects of these bombs. I mean, this is the fifth bombardment. We had the first one in 2008-2009, which lasted for 14 days. And then we had in 2012 for 8 days. And then we had in 2014 for 53 days. And then we had the March of Return. You must watch that documentary, Allahu Akbar, where over 280 Palestinians, unharmed Palestinians. I mean, the 7th of October was the second attempt, which was successful to break through the wall. The first one was in 2018, when they marched peacefully to the border between Gaza and the Zionist state, and they were literally shot in the head, in the torso, and in the legs. A peaceful protest. And so the one on the 7th of October wasn't so peaceful. But look at the reaction. This is just, as we spoke about last week, this is just showing the true face of the Zionist entity. Savage, barbaric brutality. Not only have they flattened the Gaza Strip and destroyed more than 70% of the housing stock and hundreds of masajid and all the hospitals. The last hospital is only operating or functioning partially. Churches, the zoo, 16 cemeteries turned over. Not even the dead are safe in Gaza. And on top of that, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. Indeed, we shall give you a test of fear. Of fear. I mean, comparatively speaking, if we compare the resilience of the people of Gaza to the resilience of any other nation that's being bombarded, as they have been bombarded, then subhanAllah, this is probably, and obviously, it's different with children. You know, when you're a child, you have less control over your emotions and your fear and your anxiety. But yet we even see the children that are resilient and saying, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, and being steadfast in their iman and putting their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the end of the day, they, like us, are still human beings. And so fear is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made part of our fitrah. It's part of the inherent disposition of man to feel fear, to feel anxiety. And it is indeed a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about is waljoo', hunger. You know, I realized, and I have thought about this before, But I've realized now, more than ever before, that I don't know what hunger is. I don't know about you, but I haven't experienced hunger. And don't say, oh no, we experience hunger every year in Ramadan. Wallahi, we haven't experienced hunger. When, in fact, there are different, let me just get this in front of me. There are different phases when it comes to starvation and famine. The first stage is glycogenolysis, which is only from the first 6 to 24 hours, which is not harmful. Actual fact, there are benefits in fasting, as we've experienced. Then after about 2 or 3 days of no food, ketosis. Once glycogen stores are depleted, the body starts breaking down fats into fatty acids and glycerol. Fatty acids can be used directly for energy by most body tissues except the brain. The liver converts some of the fatty acids into ketone bodies, which can be used as an alternative energy source by the brain. This process is called ketosis and usually begins after 2 or 3 days of no food. Then number 3, protein catabolism. This is after several days to weeks of no food. If the fasting state continues beyond the point where fat reserves are sufficient to meet the body's energy, the body begins to break down proteins from muscles and other tissues into amino acids. This eventually can lead to organ failure and death. The body literally starts to eat itself. At this very moment in time, and this was published in December, about the integrated food security phase classification, otherwise known as the IPC, integrated food security phase classification. Already then, there were about 385,000 people that were marked as being on the brink of famine in Gaza. Today, it is confirmed that more than 500,000 people in Gaza are experiencing famine. They are starving as we speak. As we are sitting here, they are starving. And 90%, and that, by the way, famine, starvation, is the highest of the classification. There's 5 classifications. 3 is acute food security. Insecurity, sorry. Acute food insecurity. More than 90% of the people of Gaza are in phase 3. They are hungry. And they are on the brink of joining the other 500,000. They are on the brink. Or 90% were in phase 3. Now 500,000 are starving, and the remaining population of the Gaza Strip are on the brink of starvation. On the brink of starvation. May Allah forgive us for ever complaining about anything. Al-Ghazzatul Izza hiya madrasa. Gaza is a madrasa. And I hope that we've all signed up to learn from what our brothers and sisters are going through in Gaza. And it's not the first time that the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been forcibly starved. Forcibly starved. And not just by the kuffar, as in the time of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the kuffar Quraysh, when they wrote the sahifa, they wrote on a paper that Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib, Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib, that's two of the sons of Abdi Manaf, that they should not be, nobody should marry with them, nobody should trade with them, nobody should give to them. In other words, a full-on sanction of anything and everything to do with them. And this happened where? Fi Shi'ab Bani Hashim, otherwise known as Shi'ab Ali, which is east of the Haram in the hills of Makkah. And it was there from the beginning of the seventh year after the Bi'atha, after beloved Prophet Muhammad ﷺ received his prophethood and the I'lan. And when they announced the da'wah, calling to La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then began this muqata'ah. These sanctions were implemented, and Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib were cut off and were starved. Hisham ibn Amr ibn al-Harith, he actually broke the siege of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions, Ridwanullah ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, when he used to take his camel loaded with goods to the edge of Shi'ab Ali, and then he would hit it on its backside and let it run towards the Muslimin so they could eat therefrom. But things got so bad that they even had to start eating grass and leaves. And this lasted for almost 2 years. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that first group of believers was starved. Bada al-Islamu ghariban wa sayyudu ghariban kama bada fatuba lil-ghuraba. Islam began as something strange, and it will return as something strange just like it began. So blessed be the strangers. That's why when you look at ibtila, when we look at being tested, if a person is not being tested, then they should be worried. If everything is hunky-dory, the paisa is flowing, and there are no tests, well, paisa in itself is a test. That's another topic for another time. But in terms of the test for the believer, when it comes to adversity, because there's two types of tests. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. And we shall test you with a test of adversity and prosperity. Which is the easier one to pass? The test of prosperity? No. The test of adversity, jazakallah khairan. The test of adversity is easier to pass than the test of prosperity. Why? Because with the test of adversity, when you have nothing and no one, you can only turn to Allah. But when a person is tested with prosperity, it is then that they can forget Allah. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبَوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when they ignored about that which they had been forewarned. Sometimes, you know, people are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them what I call the divine nudge. Allah gives them a reminder. You're going in the wrong direction. You need to stop. You need to turn around. But they insist. They are so greedy for the dunya, they are prepared to break all Allah's rules and statutes and commandments in order to attain that dunya. So after they ignored all the warning signs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we opened the door of everything for them. In an unlawful way, you want it? Take it. Take it. Reminds me of that hadith Qudsi, wa illam tarda bima qasamtu laka la usallitanna alayka dunya tarkudu fiha raqt al wuhush fil barriya thumma la yakunu illa ma qasamtuhu laka wa kunta 'indi madhmuma. And if you're not satisfied with what I've put out for you in a halal way, in a lawful way, then I will set the world loose upon you. And you will run around in the dunya like an animal that runs around in the wild. And then you will still only get what I've put out for you. Let's go back to the verse. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا. And when they ignored about that which they were forewarned, we opened up the door of everything for them. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا. Until they were overjoyed. But فَرِحُوا not, doesn't just mean to be overjoyed. It means to be overjoyed. Brekkerigheid. I don't know if you get such a word in Afrikaans. He's brekkerig. He's boastful. Not only is he overjoyed that he has now attained this in a haram way, but he actually brags about it. See what I have. Even though he knows he attained it in a wrongful and unlawful way. Hatta idha farihu bima utu. Until they were overjoyed with boasting about that which they had attained. أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. We suddenly seized them and they were shrouded in great regret and sorrow. That's why the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَبْدًا يُعْطَى مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَهُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَى مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ فَأْلَمْ أَنَّهُ إِسْتِدْرَاجٌ. If you see a person getting of the dunya whilst they are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they know that Allah is preparing to destroy them. Istidraj it is called. سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. I shall seize them from where they cannot account. But I give them draat. اخيف الدرات. I give them rope. I give them scope. I give them respite. Indeed, my plan is solid and cannot be overturned. So let us be aware of the test and trial of prosperity. Wealth can be a blessing if we understand its responsibility. And we exercise that trust by seeing to our needs and spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our needs, the needs of our dependents, and the surplus, we must spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we understand the responsibility of wealth, then indeed it is a ni'mah, it is a blessing, and it can be our ticket to Jannah. But if we don't understand the responsibility of it, and we strive for it in an unlawful way, and we hold on to it with a tight fist, it can be not a ni'mah, but a niqmah. It can be a curse that will end up in our destruction. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والله للفقر أخشى عليكم. He said, by Allah, I don't fear poverty for you. I don't fear poverty for you. ولكني أخشى أن تفتح عليكم الدنيا. But I fear that the doors of the dunya will open up for you. فتنافسوها. And then you will chase after it. كما تنافسوها من كان قبلكم. Just like those who came before you chased after it. فتهلككم كما أهلكتهم. And then it will destroy you like it destroyed them. Oh, Allah caused us to only attain lawful wealth and make it as a blessing for us. And guide us and choose and decide for us. If it's good for us, give it to us. If it's bad for us, keep it away from us. So that covers the test and trial of prosperity. What our brothers and sisters are going through, Jamaat al-Muslimin in Gaza and in the West Bank, is indeed a trial of adversity. And this is a sign of what? A sign of Allah's anger? Well, yes, calamities can mean different things for different people. For the kuffar, it can be as a punishment. For the heedless, a wake-up call. And for the believers, it's a cleansing and a means of elevation and drawing them ever closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what our beloved Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Al-anbiya'u ashaddu bala'an. The prophets of Allah are the most tested of Allah's creation. ثم الذين يلونهم. Then those that follow them in rank, and then those that follow them in rank. Another hadith. إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا إِبْتَلَاهُ. If Allah loves a servant, then He tests that servant. And that's where that verb comes in. إِبْتِلَا. إِبْتِلَاءٌ. إِبْتَلَأَ يَبْتَلِئُ. إِبْتِلَاءً. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَالنَّقْصِ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And indeed, most certainly, most verily, we shall give you a test of fear and hunger. And just one last point about the hunger, Jamaat al-Muslim. Imagine, at the time when already 500,000 of our brothers and sisters are starving in Gaza, and if that's 500,000, what is left, another 1.7 million, plus minus, are on the brink of starvation. At that time, 20 of the biggest donors to UNRWA, which is the United Nations Relief Agency that was set up for Palestinian refugees from the Nakba of 1948. It was set up in 1950, and it's been providing for the 58 refugee camps that are in Gaza, in the West Bank, in Lebanon, in Syria, and in Jordan. 58 refugee camps. These 20 countries will wipe about $600 million. In actual fact, if they don't resume now, and why did they stop? They stopped because of allegations in which there is absolutely no proof. And this was now stated by Channel 4 and Sky News, and even the CIA say they haven't been shown any evidence that 12 UNRWA workers took part in the so-called attacks of October 7th. We call it resistance. It was a military operation, and it was an act of resistance against the brutal occupation. And all the truth is coming out about it. All of that atrocity propaganda is being flushed down the toilet. All the lies that they have spoken and continue to speak. And when did this happen? On the same day that the ruling came from the International Court of Justice. And they've openly said, we need to destroy UNRWA. Why? Because UNRWA is that United Nations organization that keeps the hope alive for the return of the Palestinians back to their land. And they want to destroy it. Why? Because they want to destroy what is left of historical Palestine. And they want to rid Palestine of Palestinians. That has always been the goal. And basically now they just want to finish the project. أَمْ يُرِيدُونَ كَيْدًا فَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا هُمُ الْمَكِيدُونَ. As for those who are plotting evil plots, Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for those who disbelieve, their evil plots are part of Allah's plan. So because of these allegations, immediately these 20 countries who are now complicit in genocide, because UNRWA is about to run out of money at the end of this month. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but why are we waiting on 20 countries, mostly from the West, to look after our brothers and sisters that are our responsibility? Our next question is, where are the Muslim countries? Yes, there are Muslim countries that are giving a small percentage of their GDP. The rest is being spent on boxing, and Formula One, and jaws. It's another word for a rave, no? A jaw. Bringing awliya al-shaytan, putting awliya Allah in prison, and bringing awliya al-shaytan from all over the world to hinder the ummah from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Creating land bridges. I did mention that one. I'll mention it again. Creating land bridges while our Yemeni brothers have been trying to stop the ships taking goods to the Zionist entity in Bab al-Mandab, which is the mouth of the Red Sea, or the entry into the Red Sea next to Yemen. Dubai has opened its port for ships carrying Israeli goods to dock in Dubai, and then they've created a land bridge from Dubai through Saudi Arabia, through Jordan, and into the Zionist state to keep the economy from collapsing. Imagine that. Imagine that. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات. And indeed we shall test you with a test of fear and hunger. And a diminishing of wealth. A diminishing of wealth. You know, okay, so-and-so had to close his business because things were not so good. You know, he lost, his wealth has been diminished. Or so-and-so had to sell their house because they needed to pay a debt. And now they're renting. Or so-and-so, their house was broken into and their laptop and their wife's jewelry was stolen. Their wealth was diminished. But what do you say for a man that has lost everything? All of their property. They basically escaped with the clothes on their backs. Well, anfus. So, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ. They've lost all of their property and they've lost al-anfus, their loved ones. Multi-generational families have been wiped off. Hundreds of them have been wiped off the population registry in Gaza. وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Ah, this is one of the toughest. This is one of the toughest. And the fruits of your labor. The fruits of your labor. I used to use this example years ago. The example of, not Khamichi and Abdolchi. Example of, I'm just choosing any two names, okay? This is not indicative of anyone. This is just totally fictional. So Muhammad, not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just Muhammad, not Khamad of Muhammad. Muhammad, he is, mashallah, making his salah 5 times a day. He's paying his zakah. He is fasting Ramadan. He's been on Hajj. And he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he's just lost his job. And he can't afford to pay the rent. And the cupboard is almost empty. Whereby Ahmed next door, no, this guy is involved in all sorts of haram. And whilst involved in all sorts of haram, his business is expanding, it's growing. He just bought another holiday house there in, where do they buy holiday houses? Pringle Bay. A new car, another car. Which one does Allah love? And with which one is Allah angry? And whose wrath has descended upon? This is something very important for us to understand because we are in the madrasa. Madrasa to Gaza. We have to learn. We know the answer to the question, Jamaat al-Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just with their words, which is emanating from their faith, that pure faith that resides in their hearts, when they are struck with that fear and that hunger and losing all of their wealth and their loved ones, what do they say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wabashir as-sabirin. Give glad tidings to those who are patient and persevering. Those that when a calamity befalls them, what do they say? Indeed, we all belong to Allah. And to Allah is our final return. Ulaika alayhim salawatu min rabbihim wa rahmah. On those people at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salutations down upon them and envelops them in His mercy. Wa ulaika humul muhtadun. And they alone are the rightly guided ones. So Jamaat al-Muslimin, we see the situation. What we should be doing, we are restricted and prevented from doing. And that is to physically go and liberate and help our brothers and sisters against the enemy. Inshallah, we hope that day is going to come when we're going to be able to do something. But in the meantime, Jamaat al-Muslimin, the people of Gaza want us to learn from Madrasa to Gaza. So that by us waking up from our state of heedlessness and carelessness, from us stop wanting to just chase after the dunya and accumulate worldly possessions, we might repent and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We might become more grateful for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We might become more mindful and conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, the victory from Allah descends upon them. I end with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "La tanduru ila man huwa fawqakum." Don't look at those who are better off than you. In inverted commas. Sometimes we look at somebody and he's been cursed. وَانْضُرُوا إِلَىٰ مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. But rather look at those who are worse off than you. فَهُوَ أَجْدَرُ أَلَّا تَزْدَرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Don't look at those who are better off than you, but rather look at those who are worse off than you, because that will be closer and better for you not to be ungrateful for the favors of Allah on you. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة. اللهم أطعمهم يا رب. اللهم اسقهم يا رب. اللهم تقبل شهداءهم يا رب. اللهم اجبر كسرهم يا رب. اللهم اشفي جرحاهم يا رب. اللهم اذهب عنهم الهم والحزن يا رب. اللهم انصر اخواننا المجاهدين في غزة. اللهم ارمي عنهم اذا رموا وسد عنهم اذا رموا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين يا رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد النبي الامي وعلى اله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. واخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Request to make dua for wife, mother, grandmother, auntie Kalthuma Sukka, who is going for heart procedure on Tuesday, and for all the sick. May Allah grant shifa and speedy recovery. Ameen. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله.